Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Let's talk one more time about peace and strife. And then we're finished with strife. Isn't that good? I just like the way that sounds to my spirit. Finished with strife. Matthew 5:9. Verse 9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. There's several words in the Greek for children. This word is not simply a word of relationship, but it means you look like your father. You act like your father. You know, if you know my son, he looks like his mother. He has a lot of the characteristics of his mother. Suzanne is more like her daddy. This word, huios in the Greek, has to do with a child that represents and looks like and acts like the father. And they said the father is a peacemaker, and the children of God are peacemakers. We are like him in that he makes peace. He sent Jesus to make peace. You remember last week we talked about the God of peace sent the Prince of Peace with the gospel of peace so that people who didn't know the way of peace could have peace without end or peace beyond understanding. Well, that's the kind of attitude we have in our spirit because of what God has done. Now, you can't be a peacemaker if you don't know how to have peace in your own life. You know, I couldn't teach you how to shoot a gun. I've never shot one. We couldn't even go to the rifle range and do any damage. I mean to the paper man out there at a distance, because I don't know how. I tried to learn to sew, and we used to, you know, you used to take home ec and learn things. Does anybody remember that? And sewing was part of what we did. It was required. Well, we didn't have a sewing machine in our house, and Mama didn't sew. And so learning to sew was very difficult because I had nobody to help me. I'd go down the street to Susan's house. Susan's mother had a sewing machine, though she didn't know how to sew. That was probably better than nothing, I guess. And so if you're going to learn anything, you have to learn from somebody that knows something. I don't know how to operate the computer, but I have plenty of computer operators at my house. If I want to know anything, I call somebody that knows. Yesterday, as I was preparing this lesson, I got to thinking about the Hatfields and the McCoys. Do you know the tradition about the Hatfields and McCoys? I'm going to tell it to you today. It's quite interesting. I called Suzanne. I said, pull that off the computer and send it to the house. And then I have to call Wayne. Suzanne's sending me something on the computer. Would you get it off the computer and put it on my desk? Because I don't know how. And I don't want to know how. Don't help me with the computer. I'm not interested. Well, blessed are the peacemakers if we're going to be peacemakers. And you know, peacemaking is not optional. The children of God are peacemakers. That's what this verse says. That's who you are. That's what you do. Then we're going to have peace in our own life, know how to capture peace. You know, you're going to have some trouble, some struggle, some anxiety, some worries, some traumas in life. But if you know how to overcome with peace, then you can help me when I need to overcome. So the body of Christ, we are peacemakers. We're going to help one another to overcome. We're going to be properly instructed, and we're going to practice what we know. You know, Paul said, those things which you have seen, learned, and heard, and seen in me, do. It's not enough just to hear it, see it, and learn it. You have to practice it. So when we find out how to have peace, we discussed that last week. I'll review that for you briefly. And then we're going to be able to help others. We are peacemakers. You know, if I say she's a cake maker, you know what that is? Someone makes cakes. What's a peacemaker? This is hard, isn't it? Peace is quietness, it's tranquility. It's even in Webster's, it says heavenly rest. Well, I love that. It's freedom from agitation. Have you ever been agitated? Open your wash machine. I don't know about yours, but if you open mine, it's agitating, it stops. It won't run with the lid up. And when we're agitated, all of life stops. I mean, you just can't get any further in life if you don't have peace. The way of peace. Well, look at Luke chapter 1. Let me show you another verse. I kind of like it up here. I've never stood up here before. I feel high and lifted up. This is a property of Zacharias. If I don't change my mind, we'll cover it next week. But I just want to show you one verse, verse 79. He talks about the work of John the Baptist, who preceded Jesus, and the work of Jesus himself, verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Do you see there's a way of peace? It says Jesus came to guide us, to show us the way of peace. He is our example of peace we can follow. His example. Now, peace is personal. It's also corporate. Look at Colossians 3:15. We as a corporate body walk in peace beyond understanding. It's God's wish for us, His will for us, His provision for us. It's not optional, but it's also personal. You know, when Jesus sent the disciples out, He said, you go into a house, and if it be worthy, let your peace come upon it. Your peace, the peace you have in you, is going to make a difference everywhere you go. He said, you go into a house. They were missionaries, so to speak. They were ministering, and they were staying because they didn't have Holiday Inns. You understand, they stayed in houses. And when they went to your house, it says, if the house is worthy, in other words, if they accept you, if they allow you to come and stay there, then your peace comes upon that house. Do you know you can go into a place where there's turmoil and trouble, and your peace can anchor that place for that moment? You have authority in your spirit and in your presence to pass out peace. That's amazing, isn't it? I keep that in mind. My little grandfather, he's been gone with the Lord years and years, decades even. And he had something wrong with his neck. And everywhere he went, he'd go, if you see Joel, you've seen Granddaddy, because that's how Granddaddy, they were both built like washing machine boxes. That's what our family basically does. And he'd do this all the time. Well, he came, we had some kind of family gathering. I got tired of looking at that. And I suddenly realized I'm in charge of my household. This is my house! And I said, I command you pain to cease in Jesus' mighty name. He never did that another time till I saw him get in his car, get behind his wheel to go home and go. But in my presence, at my house, I have authority and my peace comes upon that house. Well, if we learn some things about peace, we can be peacemakers. Look at this verse again. Luke chapter 1. Let's read it one more time. Then we'll go back to Colossians. You can keep your finger there. You follow me, though, you're going to run out of fingers, because I seldom go back to where I said. Oh, well. To guide our feet. You know, you can be a guide. You can't be a guide if you're strung out and uptight, if you're anxious and worried, if you're wringing your hands, if you're hollering, stomping your feet, or if you're... Some people have the old silent treatment. I didn't know anything about the silent treatment. The family I came from didn't understand the silent treatment. I learned that from Wayne. He's a master of the silent treatment. His family are not vocal people. It's quite interesting how God puts you together with what you need. And one thing I needed was Wayne Cumby, and one thing I've learned is not to be quite as vocal, although I don't say I've conquered it entirely. Now look, Colossians 3:15. You know, I told you there's two groups of people, those that should speak up and those that should shut up. Life is very simple when you walk with me. And the other day I started to say something, and these three lessons we've talked about, peace and keeping and guarding the words of our mouth, and I shut up. Is that amazing? I was so excited. I really wanted to say it, but I didn't. I went, shh. You know, Paul talked about that. He said he had to practice the gospel he preached. What I know I have to do. Some things I know how to do is because I've been practicing. Let the peace of God rule. You let the peace of God rule. Peace is personal. Let the peace of God rule. That means in the middle of a storm, in the middle of tumult, you can have peace. Now, you know the disciples in the middle of the storm didn't have peace. Jesus is asleep. He had peace. Storm's not bothering him. But the disciples said, Lord, save us, we perish. In other words, they said, Lord, we're going to die. They're looking at the circumstances. You let the peace rule. That means you have a choice. You're making a decision. You let it rule. I am going to have peace. I am finished with strife. It's something that you can do for yourself. Now the word of God, sharper than a two-edged sword, is going to help you, and the Spirit of God is going to empower you. You are not alone. This is not willpower, bulldog tenacity. Everybody knows willpower doesn't work for too many people. You can have a piece of pie. I can offer you another piece. And you'll say, oh, no, I couldn't. And I say, oh, just a little bitty piece. And you'll say, well, okay, just a little bitty piece. That's about how far willpower goes. It's not willpower, it's Holy Ghost power. But the Holy Ghost cannot do what you don't want Him to do. He's not a bully, He's not pushy. He's going to cooperate with you when He sees this is what you want. And you take that footstep in the direction of peace. And you begin to work on your mouth. or to open it or to close it, depending upon who you are. Holy Ghost will help you. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Look at this. To which also you are called in one body. This is a body of people with peace who come together. We have individual peace and we have corporate peace. Is that amazing? Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Can you imagine coming to church and everybody's anxious, uptight about something? What a place this would be. 2:22. This is Paul's word to Timothy. Flee youthful lusts. Follow. That word follow is a choice word. You follow. You choose. You follow. Righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In other words, you follow it. You choose peace. And then you find you a body where peace rules. You walk with the body of Christ where peace rules, where peace reigns. So it's personal. And it's also corporate. And we know it can rule and reign in households because of Jesus' word to the disciple when he said, let your peace come upon the house. Look at Hebrews 12:14. Peace doesn't just fall on you. It's not automatic. All the principles of God have to be practiced. When we talk about the love of God, the scripture says love yourself, love your neighbor, love one another, love your enemy. So it incorporates all men. I used to sing to Ashley. Instead of singing red and yellow, I don't know if I can even sing it right. What does it say, black and white? I used to always say purple, pink, and yellow, green. And she'd always say, that's not right, Memes. I'm just trying to get her beyond partiality to any race, creed, tribe, or nation. Doesn't matter who you are, the love of God's for you. It says, love yourself as you love your neighbor. It says, love the brethren, love all men, love your enemy. Well, peace is exactly the same. We're going to have peace in our own heart, peace in our own household, peace in the body where we worship, and we're going to have peace with our enemy. Now, our enemy may not have peace with us. You can't control the other man. You're responsible for yourself. It says, follow peace with what? With all men. With all men. Now, if you open my back door, our dog is 15 years old. She does not move until you open the door. Ashley's studying science. She's homeschooled, and she's into potential kinetic energy. Well, most of the time, the dog's just potential energy. She's not moving, but you open the back door and she's gone. It's amazing how weary she is until you open the door, how fast she can move. And if you see her go, you have to follow her. If I say follow the dog, you would be right behind her in order to capture her. It says follow peace. When you follow something, you tend to catch up with it, to capture it, to make use of it. The other day, we were moving Christmas decorations in and out. Against my better judgment, I decided to decorate. I didn't want to have Christmas this year, but I'm having it anyway. I saw it on the calendar. Wayne moving the boxes out of the attic. The attic's outside. The attic access is in the garage, in the carport. And I just noticed the door was open. And I got looking around for the dog. I mean, she never moves, but she is gone. I mean, she probably hadn't moved in 2 weeks. I stepped out the back door and looked across the field with 20 acres. I could see a little dot. It's amazing how fast she got there because the door was open. Now, if I open the door of my heart to turmoil, if I don't follow peace, if I don't decide, this is what I'm for, I can follow turmoil, I can follow trouble, I can follow dissension, I can say, you can't do that to me, I don't know who you think you are. Or I can choose to walk in the love of God and to follow peace. In other words, here's the pathway of peace. Jesus said there's a way of peace. He came to give us the way of peace. What's the way? Get on that pathway. Stay on that pathway. Make that your rigid determination to follow peace with all men. Well, you know how hard it is to want to love an enemy. We talked about the flesh and the spirit. Here's the physical man. The body. This is my best artwork, by the way. Somebody said, why don't you let Wayne draw for you? I said, he draws perfectly. You'd never remember it if he drew it. Now here's the man who's come to Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? He's a new creature. There was an old man in here. This old man, this spirit man has passed away. He's gone. And this man is new. Now in this man is eternal life. We'll just put that in red. Eternal life is not to live forever. What is it? It's possessing the life of the eternal one. Eternal life incorporates love. It incorporates peace. It incorporates long-suffering. All of those nine fruit of the Spirit that are mentioned in Galatians 5 are a product of the life of God within. They are in the human spirit. Now, the flesh is going to want to be rowdy, want to be rebellious. Scripture says twice, in your flesh is no good thing. I don't know why. That was really hard for me to capture. I took years before I conquered that. I was fairly astute in school. I was a good student, and I just couldn't imagine that in my flesh was no good thing. But I heard a minister, he was a musician actually, give his testimony. And he said he wondered how much of his skill was talent and how much was the Spirit and grace of God upon him. So he asked the Lord one day, he said, lift the grace of God and just let me play the piano today with talent, sheer talent. And he found he was totally incapable. There's more grace, more God in you and upon you than you could ever imagine. They finally saw he was struggling, they didn't know why, and they called on the second pianist and gave him a break. He said, you have to get somebody else to do it today. I can't do it. He couldn't remember the key signatures. He couldn't remember the tunes. He couldn't remember the songs or the words. He was totally incapable without God. My, thank God. If we only understood what he'll do in us, for us, with us, and through us. Peace like a river. But we have to follow peace. We have to choose peace. Now, in this spirit, look at Galatians 5. I think we've talked about it every week, never read it. So let's read it while we're here. Then let me show you another one. It's peace, peace, peace. It's in there. 5:22, you know these fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there's no law. These things are in your human spirit. Your capital S, referring to the Holy Spirit, is not accurate. The Holy Spirit doesn't bear fruit. If he's still growing in fruit, we're in trouble. This is the human spirit. This is you. There's only one word for spirit in the Greek. And so you have to determine if it was the Holy Spirit or the human spirit. This is a human spirit. This is you. And all of these fruit are down on the inside of you. Sometimes they're only this big, though. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. Thereby, you have to grow in God. You have to grow in those things that are in you. You have to choose them. You have to follow them. You have to seek them. And you have to feed them on the Word of God and trust the Spirit of God to grow you up in God so those things manifest in your life. That's why the Scripture says in several places, put on. And it lists some of these wonderful characteristics. It says, put those on. Now, if you plant a seed, you're going to have to water that seed. You're going to have to fertilize that seed. If you plant a small plant, there's a growth process. In every Christian, there is a growth process. Years and years ago, a lady and I crossed swords. I didn't even realize it at first, that we were mad at one another. That's how astute I was about the situation at the time. I took all of the scriptures on love. We went to the beach that year. I took them everywhere I went. I still have them in my file all typed up, and I read them over and over again because I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to not let her irritation with me affect my life. And I read them, and I read them, and I read them. Now, if you wanted to be healed, you'd take the healing scripture, and you'd read them over and over again. If you want to walk in love, you've got to take those scriptures that pertain to love, or you want to walk in peace, those scriptures that pertain to peace, and make those a part of your spirit, and allow this fruit to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. This fruit can go so big, according to Philippians 4, it can mount guard against your entire spirit and soul. In other words, peace can so surround you that the enemy can't get through, that worry can't get through, that fear can't get through. I like that. Now look at John 14. You know, Christmas is a time that we lose our peace a lot. Have you all noticed that? Maybe that's just me. I'm not a shopper. If I go shopping and find a red skirt I like and it comes in four other colors, I'm buying all five. That's how I stop. I'll have the red one, the green one, the black one, the white one. They don't like white. They don't like white. I won't buy the white one. But otherwise, I'm buying them all. That's how I shop. When I shop, I don't go shop and spend $50. I don't shop but once a year, and I'm going to spend $500. But I won't be back. I don't like shopping. So I get out in the world, I could lose my peace. You got a list. Our family shops by lists. I have a Christmas list. Some of the people are really good with lists. And then there's my mother's list. Not too helpful. One of the grandchildren's list. Not too helpful. And then there's Ashley's list. Ying, 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 ying. I have to, it's not helpful either because it's got so much on it. I don't know which of these things are essential to life and which of these things are a dream that she saw in a catalog or something. So we shop by list. So you go out with your list and you're not a shopper. And you go down that list and you're trying to please somebody. You can get frustrated out there. And then somebody grabs the last one on the counter, elbows you out of the way, or takes your parking space. That makes me so mad. When you're standing there, you got your blinker on, you're going to turn just as soon as this person wheels out, some little Volkswagen goes. I have to speak to myself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make melody in my heart to the Lord. You have to follow. You have to seek. You have to determine. You have to cultivate. You have to stand firm. Nothing is automatic. You're not going to be loving because you have love in you. You know that. People that are Christians, they're born again, you know they are, and they are mean as a snake. They're always sharp-tongued. They're always impatient. They're always unkind. And yet the love of God is in them, but they're allowing their flesh to rule. The flesh says, this is the way I see it. This is the way I feel about it. And the flesh begins to guide you in the wrong direction. I know in my flesh dwells no good thing. But the spirit of man has everything you need in it, but it has to be cultivated. It has to be grown up. So we're going to grow up in spirit through the word of God, allow the Holy Spirit to take the word of God and empower us so we can do the right thing. Don't you want to do the right thing? Now look at this. These are the words of Jesus, 14:27. He said to the disciples, peace I leave with you. My peace. Underline my, put circles around it, asterisk, stars. Whose peace do you have? The very peace of Jesus. Would that be sufficient for you? Is there any trouble too big for God's peace? Is there anything God's peace can't rule, conquer? I think not. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Now there's a worldly peace and a godly peace. There's a natural peace and a supernatural peace. That's what that verse says. Natural peace depends upon circumstances. Natural peace is if the children got good grades, if you got plenty of gas, plenty of money, you love to shop, you know exactly what you're going for, you know exactly where that product is, you've got your Christmas dinner planned, you've got the maid coming to clean up. I always thought that was a good idea if I won't have dinner. Maybe she, I don't know if she should come before or after, do you? Both, good idea. Worldly peace depends upon circumstances. Everything's going well. You got enough money? Yeah. Children doing good? Yeah. Husband's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful man buying big presents? Yeah, he is. Got plenty of money? Yeah, we do. You know, you could, our porch, our front porch, how long is that dude? About 30 foot, 20 foot, 30. All of a sudden, the tile just pops up. It just comes up. I mean, nobody's asked it to come up. Nobody's thought about replacing it. And you step out there. Well, Wayne took a section up the other day because it was dangerous. And then behind that, some more is popping up. It's just coming up. So we go, we got to have new tile. That tile's no longer made, of course. So we have to have new tile. So we go down and nobody uses outdoor tile anymore. You may go to, I've been to 5, 6, 7, 8 tile people. They say, oh, we have a couple kinds. And they never have anything that's my color, my style. I don't like busy. I don't like oak wood. It's too busy. I like maple. Has no grains. I don't like busy. And all of this tile is so busy. It's like. So one looked like it might do. It might be the right color. We bring it. You can. I'm talking about you can lose your peace. It doesn't have to work real hard at it either. We brought home a box of it. It was returnable. I made sure. We laid it out on the porch. I said, take it up. 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 I can't stand it. I can't stand it. It had 6 different colors in it, 22 different patterns. Every box is different. I went, oh, no. No, 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 no. I just want squares, squares, rectangles, circles, but don't. I can't do it. Well, so now we have a porch that's half tile, half not tile. And you step out on that porch and you think, shh, this is ugly. Does your house bother you sometimes? Just part of it's just ugly. I mean, it's just ugly. I mean, it may have been beautiful one day. But now today, you look at it, you think, who painted that color? That is ugly. And you lose your peace. Well, worldly peace depends upon circumstances. But God's peace doesn't look at anything but God. It comes from God. It's in the human spirit. It grows up as we feed it on the Word of God, and it doesn't care what color the paint is, how many tile are falling loose, how many F's the child has gotten, how little money you have. Peace beyond understanding. It's superior to circumstances. That's why Paul said, I've learned in all things whatsoever I have to be content. His contentment was independent of circumstances. It came from God. Contentment is peace. It came from God. It came from heaven. He wasn't looking at the fact they were beating him. You know, Paul had problems. They beat him. He was shipwrecked. He was imprisoned. He was left for dead. You hadn't been left for dead yet. And he said, I've learned to be content. Peace like a river. Peace like a river. Now, we said four things about peace last week. Peace for yourself personally comes from believing. It says you have peace in believing. That was the essence of John 14:1. That's quoted, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Peace comes through believing, knowing who God is, what he has done. Peace comes from abiding in the very presence of God. We covered these last week. That's in John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me, you stay in him. You stay in right relationship and in fellowship with him, and you can have peace. That means when this little lady's husband died, she went right to meetings. She went to where there was peace, where people had peace. She cultivated that peace within herself, and it grew, and it conquered, and it helped her to overcome. Well, you have to stay in relationship. You have to stay in obedience. That wonderful verse in Isaiah 48 we read last week talks about obedience. I love this verse. Verse 18, oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river. If I disobey, I know what God wants me to do, but I don't do it, there's no peace for me. There's peace in believing the promises of God, knowing who he is and what he wants to do. There's peace in staying in his presence, and there's peace in obeying his will, doing what he wants me to do. And then, of course, peace comes through prayer, and prayer really attaches us to the very presence of God. It's another element of the same thing, and that's in Philippians chapter 4. Now, we're going to be peacemakers because we know the promises of God. We don't have any money. We know he meet our need out of his riches and glory. We know we can give, and it'll be given unto us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running there. We know if we tithe, the winds of heaven are open, pour us out a blessing, so we can have peace. If the children are having trouble, it says, all my children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace and undisturbed composure. So my children, my offspring, can be filled with the Spirit. There's a lot said about your offspring and the Spirit in the book of Isaiah. It's quite interesting. So if I know what God wants to do, so train up a child in the way he should go, that means you do it with him, you do it for him, and he does it by himself, and then you can capture him. God can capture him and hold him steady in the affairs of life. So if you know the promises of God, then we can have peace. And if I take the promise of God into the presence of God, I said, if I take the promise of God into the presence of God, can you imagine if Wayne said, if you need any more Christmas money, I have it. And I go to him. Now, I'm comforted by that promise. Just thinking, he said if I need any more money, he had it. But if I go to him and I'm in his presence and I say, you said if I need any more money, you had it. If you take the promise of God into the presence of God, you can have the peace and the power of God. Oh, every time. And then if God says you've spent too much money, you'll have to back down because obedience brings peace. You ever spent too much money? You put it all on your credit card? I'm the only one that did that one year. Now, we're going to be peacemakers. We know how to get peace. We know where peace comes from. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father. It's in your spirit. It's of the spirit. It has to be cultivated. Well, look at... Let's go to 1 Peter first. I'm going to show you three passages of Scripture that have to do with peace. Verse 18 of chapter 2. Servants, be subject to your master with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. We don't use that word anymore. You can put harsh out there. It has to do with harsh. Sometimes with, it's like a record being warped or twisted. It's an irregular person. That's what it is. And it's talking about servants. These are people that are employed. Be subject to your masters. You see, sometimes we think we only have to have peace with somebody that has peace with us. Somebody's good to us, you'll be good to me, I'll be good to you. If we're going to be peacemakers, the first rule of peacemakers is peace is for all. It's for the good, the bad, and the ugly. And he said to this servant, you can have peace with your master even if he's harsh. I had a boss. His name was Mr. Weathers. Never will forget him. He and I didn't get along very well. He had two secretaries. I was military, so Wayne was military. So military people can't find a job easily. So it's not like you could up and quit and get another job. You probably can't get one. So the other secretary took a stapler one day and threatened him, went like that to hit him. So he never bothered her again. So he just camped on my doorstep. He was harsh. He was hard. He was hard to get along with. He was hard to please. One day, you know me, I'm not an emotional person. I got so uptight, I walked out the back door. I didn't even have a car. I was miles from home. Wayne had taken the car to the military base. I had a ride to work every day. And I just walked. I don't know where I thought I was going. But I lost my peace. I lost my composure. Because he was harsh, because he was hard. But there's a peace that passes all understanding that's not affected by mean and ugly. It's right here. Right here, it's in the spirit. I don't care how mean you are, how ugly you are, you won't affect my composure because my peace comes from heaven. I have Jesus' peace, my peace. He gave me. It's not a worldly peace. It's not dependent upon how nice you are. It says, verse 19, this gets worse. Fasten your seatbelt and you won't fall out of the chair. This is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. This servant had not done anything wrong. And the scripture tells him to endure. He was not in error. And the scripture says, endure. That's not what we want to hear. We want relief. We want release. We want that man to get what's coming to him. He's unfair. He can't speak to me that way. I've been here for 5 years. What does scripture say? Endure. And endure is when you walk towards victory. You pass through a trying situation, but you expect to come out victorious. And then it says, verse 20, what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? If when you do well, we're talking about you're doing the right thing. You haven't made any big mistake. And suffer. You do well 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 and suffer. Has that ever happened to you? You take it patiently. We're going to endure. We're going to be patient. This is what? What's that word? Acceptable. Now, patience is being consistent. It's being unchanging. I have an account at the florist, had it for years and years and years and years and years. They know me. They know my name. They don't even ask for any information. I said, this is Becky Cumby, and she said, okay, a nosegay, 15, 20, 25. Nosegays go up in $5 increments. She wants to know how big a nosegay I want to send, where I want to send it. Because they know me. Now, if it was your birthday, I might send you a nosegay. If it was your anniversary, I might send you a nosegay. If I loved you, I might send you a nosegay. And if I hated you, I would also send you a nosegay. Because I know the scripture. I know what God has said. And if you don't work with God and do it God's way, it's not going to work for you. Let me tell you this fascinating story. Years ago, a lady at Christmas time, I mean decades ago now, a lady at Christmas time came home and her entire apartment complex having a big party and somebody had taken all the parking spaces. Well, there was one parking space left. She finally found one and she parked in it. Well, it happened to be her neighbor. She's new there. She doesn't know her neighbor. He comes home. He doesn't have a parking space, so he goes up, gets shoe polish, and shoe polishes her car. Well, as you know, that ruins is your car. You have to have it repainted. It can't be touched up. And so, now we're going to follow God. We're going to follow peace. We're going to what? Follow peace. Seek peace. She hasn't done anything particularly wrong or in error. She has a huge basket of goodies she sends to him. The next day she knocks on his door, but he's not home. She leaves it there for him. Lots of cookies and cakes. People had blessed her, and so she blessed him. She's what? She's following peace. See, the rest would say, we'd go over there, I'll tell you, I'm contacting my lawyer. You repaint my car, or my lawyer will be at your doorstep in the morning. Do you hear that? No, that's wrong. That's wrong. You can't have peace except you have it God's way. She left him a huge basket with a note the next day. A poinsettia. I'm not talking about a poinsettia. $3.98, $3.89. What were they this year? $3.86. I'm talking about a poinsettia. Has anybody's husband ever given him one of those? Are we envious? One lady. You know these poinsettias are this big? You seen those? Oh, two. We have two. Oh, good. That'll work for me. She had a poinsettia at her doorstep with this little note that says, I'm so sorry. You know why that happened? She maintained her cool. She walked patiently. She refused to retaliate. Peace never retaliates. Peace never wants you to get what's coming to you. Peace always wants there to be quiet, rest, calm. Now look, you take it patiently, you endure. And then it says, even here in 2 where you called. This is your calling. Peace is your calling. Endurance is your calling. Hanging in there. Peace is when you're consistent. You're always the same. You smile when you're happy. You smile when you're not happy. You smile when you're glad. You smile when you're sad. You're always the same. Because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example. Now look at his example, verse 23. Who when he was reviled or insulted, he reviled not. When he suffered, he threatened not. See, that's what we do. You spit on me, I spit on you. You talk about me, I talk about you. And wives, oh, please. You know if wives get ticked off, they'll go to their mothers without leaving him a note. She doesn't know where he is. Or they'll fix dinner for themselves. So I wasn't very hungry. I had a sandwich. Fix anything you want. Isn't that what you do? Shame on you. Or more than once, I said, now, Wayne, come to you, listen to me 1 minute. You just be quiet and listen to me 1 minute. Let me straighten this out. But peace shuts up. Now, look, 1 Peter, we have to go over to Romans. That's Jesus' example. If you go back to the book of Matthew, the one thing that caught their attention was when they brought witnesses in, Romans 12. They brought witnesses in to talk about Jesus. He wouldn't say anything. And they said, you know, this could be trouble for you. You need to speak up. But he wouldn't. You don't have to defend yourself. I'm going to show you why in a minute. You don't need any defense. You do not need any defense. See, we would defend ourselves. Someone said, I give you peace of my mind. Said, you better keep. You need all the pieces you've got. And I like that. Now look at Romans. It says the same thing. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. That's at the home. That's at the car. That's at the mall. That's at the office. That's at the church. You know, and my concept of evil is I just won't speak to you ever again. I'll mark you off my list. You will never hear from me again. Do you do that? You're as bad as I am. Y'all look pious out there, but I know you're no better off than I am. Recompense to no man. Provide things honest or honorable. That word is honest or honorable in the sight of all. Now, what is honorable with God? Keep your finger there. We'll be right back. I promise. Proverbs 23. This is my favorite. My, we're going to be peacemakers. Peacemakers refuse to retaliate. They don't retaliate with words. They don't retaliate with action. They endure. They last. They stand strong. They're patient. They're unflexing, unoffendable. One of the translations of 1 Corinthians 13, thinketh no evil, says, love hardly even notices when somebody does it wrong. So she was being ugly to you, and you say, she was, really? She didn't mean that nicely. I said, she didn't. That's the way love and peace work. It's an honor for a man to cease from strife. But every fool, what's that word? I didn't write it, I'm just reading it. Every what? 23. Chapter 20, verse 3. I'm sorry. It's an honor. We're supposed to do what's honorable. Well, what's honorable? Cease from strife. And what's the other end of honor? That word's fool. It's an honor. Now, we honor great men, great military commanders. We honor great athletes. We honor great doctors and researchers who give us new medical treatments. We honor great governmental leaders. God's impressed with people who will not strive. That's what he's honored by. And what brings honor to your household. If you won't say it, you won't do it, you won't retaliate, not in words, revile no man evil for evil. God's honored. And the honor of God, the acceptability of God, do you remember we read this is acceptable with God? And I like the context of 1 Peter because he makes it very clear that that man was not guilty of anything. See, we think, if I'm not guilty, I should stand on top of my house and everybody should know I didn't do it, that you did it. It wasn't my fault, it was yours. Years ago, two little ladies had for years and years and years used the same driveway. They'd used it so long. One day, I don't know what happened, but one lady decided that was her driveway. And she went to the other lady and she said, this is my driveway, you need to have your own driveway. They've been walking on that driveway, driving down that driveway for decades. Don't know what comes into people. You know, go to somebody quick and let's pray for you and get you back where you ought to be. Well, the other lady that she went to was sure it was her property. She checked it was her property. She went to her pastor. This is how I found it out. Wanted to know what she should do. I didn't know either one of them. And he took her to Abraham and to Lot. See, if you're going to be a peacemaker, you're not going to want to get even. You're not going to want what's belonged to you. You're going to want what's bring peace. That's my property. That's my driveway. You get your own driveway. You get off of mine. And then I'm going to call the fence company and put up a big fence. Shame on you. No, peace always does what brings peace. That's a phenomenal statement, isn't it? So she went right down to her attorney and deeded. It was about 20, 25, 30 feet, and deeded that 30 feet to her neighbor. I said, why'd she do that? She didn't have to do that. It was her property. She should get a restraining order. Then you don't really want peace, do you? Do you know about the Hatfields and the McCoys? Do you know those were real people? Anybody not ever heard the Hatfields and McCoys? Y'all are all brilliant, I can see. Everybody's heard that. You will not believe this. The battle between the Hatfields and McCoys, these were actual families, began in 1875. The most famous family feud in American history, resulting in 12 deaths, plus the 12 deaths of family members, plus the deaths of several bounty hunters who were hired by different family members to capture other family members. The feud officially ended in 1891, but it wasn't until 1976. That's 1875. That's over 100 years. The representatives from the two sides came together to shake hands. But that wasn't the end of it. In 2000... The issue of access to the historic cemetery became a problem, and the dispute rose again. Nobody here is interested in peace. Everybody wants what they think belongs to them. Everybody wants to retaliate. Nobody's interested in quietness. Well, tensions grew. How it happened, the Hatfields fought on the side of the Confederacy, and the McCoys were Union. They lived, their property butted one another. It was a little stream in between. The fight began the death of Harmon McCoy, who was discharged from the Union Army with a broken leg and found murdered in the mountain. In the years that followed, land and boundary disputes broke out between the members of the two families and came to a head in 1873 over the ownership of the pig. Floyd Hatfield had a pig he claimed was his, while Randolph McCoy said that pig belonged to him. The local justices of the peace, called upon to settle the matter, awarded the animal to Floyd Hatfield. Perhaps unsurprising, the judge was Anderson Hatfield. Bill Stanton, a witness for the Hatfields, who was related to both families, was subsequently killed by two McCoys. This sparked a sequence of retaliation, arson, and murder that ultimately found its way to the United States Supreme Court in 1888 over a pig. The Supreme Court ruled, sent a posse, kidnapped eight Hatfields from Virginia to stand trial in Kentucky. In the meantime, Rosanna McCoy fell in love with John C. Hatfield. In an effort to derail the romance, the McCoys kidnapped John C. Hatfield, upon which Roseanne McCoy made a midnight ride to let Anderson Hatfield know that his son had been captured. So Anderson comes and rescues him. Despite her loyalty to the family, Jauncey wound up dumping pregnant Rosanna and marrying her cousin, Nancy McCoy. Then, as you might imagine, the Klan was in ire, I-R-E. So shortly afterward, Anise Hatfield killed Ellison McCoy, one of Rosanna's brothers, who in turn his family murdered several of the Hatfield clan. Peace, peace. Wonderful peace. In 1891, the families officially decided to stop fighting, but the conflict continued. In 2003, what year is this? What year did this begin? 1875. 2003, CBS's Saturday early morning show witnessed the event where Rio Hatfield, representing the Hatfields, and Beau McCoy signed an official truce between the families. An uncontroversial move at this time, considering the last death attributed to the feud was over 100 years old. Peace, peace. Peace never retaliates. It never seeks its own way. It never calls names. It never demands its own rights. It does what brings peace. Do what brings peace. Now look at verse 21, chapter 12. Be not overcome of evil. See, if you side in, let your flesh guide you, you're going to be overcome. That's Romans 12:21. But overcome evil with what? Overcome, it's by doing good. Overcome by doing good, by doing something good. Like the lady sent the cookies. Let me read you the New Living, because it's clearer. If you're going to have peace, you're going to have to endure some things. You're going to have to keep your mouth shut and not say some things. You're going to have to refuse to retaliate. You're going to have to decide what would bring the other person peace. What would help them? You're going to have to forget yourself. See, in a marriage, there's no peace because I want what I want and I don't care what Wayne wants and he can just stuff it. And don't you feel that way sometimes? I've been married 41 years. And still just once a year or so, I think. That was mean, Wayne Cumby. That was just mean. And I don't want to keep it in silence. I don't want to suffer in silence. You want to suffer in silence like God said? No, you don't. People that suffer in silence explode. If you don't walk in peace, you'll explode. You know, I expect somebody to get in some trouble and their spirit speak up. Spirit will speak up on the inside. And say, you know, you need to shut up. We don't retaliate. We don't seek evil for evil. Chapter 12. Don't let evil get the best of you, but conquer evil by doing good. Doing good. Now look at Matthew 5. Do. Say do. So next time I send you flowers, you won't know why I sent them, will you? You better hope it's your birthday so you aren't confused. My, peace is something that you do. It's something you decide to do. You decide to forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. I forget about myself, I concentrate on you. Peace is focused on God. It knows God has the answer. I have in me the peace of God. Verse 43, you've heard the law of Moses say, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. The word persecute means to follow or pursue. It means somebody's always on your case. It's usually somebody you live with that's always on your case. I don't know. I don't know who my neighbors are, so I'm not too worried about them being on my case. Although I have new neighbors, and I've already discovered they're relatively loud. Pray for those. What did you pray for your husband? Huh? Is that what you did? You said, well, I better pray for him because he makes me so mad. Huh? In that way, you will be acting like true children of your Father. Do you remember the word we started with in Matthew 5? The Greek word for children, which means you act like God. Now let me read to you from the King James. Peace, peace. You can have it if you want it. Love your enemy. Bless those that curse you. Can you imagine that? Somebody's cursing you and say, how can I help you? What can I do for you? Not, what does it say? Bless them. So that little man took my parking place and I stopped right there where I was and prayed for him. That was my spot. I had my turning arrow on. He took my spot. And I said, Lord, if he's not a Christian, bring him a laborer that knows you. I took time to pray. That's what God said to do. If you don't follow God, you won't have peace. If you do follow God, you will have peace. Bless them. Bless them. Do good. What does that say? Think good. To those that hate you, it says what? And pray for those which despitefully use you. Well, what are you going to do? A lady came to me, and she and her mother-in-law had had a spat. She didn't much like her mother-in-law anyway. She'd been her mother-in-law for years and years. They never had gotten along too well. And they'd had this big spat. And you know when you tell me about your big spat, when it's all over, I can't remember. I'm going, wow, huh. And I'm saying, I say that one more time? Wow, okay. Let me think a minute. I know the answer. I'm just trying to see if there's any pertinent details I should remember. Usually there are all fights are the same. He said, she said, I said, she said, he said. And I said, well, you need to do something. She said, do like what? I said, do something. I always send flowers. To my mother-in-law, she said. I said, Scripture says do something. Little Catholic lady, precious lady. I said, you have to do something. I said, bake her a cake. She said, I cannot face that woman. I said, you need to send her a nice card then. You have to do something. You have to do something. If you don't do something, you will be like a car stuck in the mud. This time next year, you'll be exactly where you are, exactly as unhappy about this person or this situation as you were last year at this time. You have got to pray. You've got to bless them and do something that helps them and benefits them. You must. It is the command of God. That's what a peacemaker does. He says, how can I help them? What would help them? It shuttles my own feelings. See, we want to protect our feeling and our rights. I have rights. No, you shuttle your rights. You shuttle your feelings and you do something. So she did send flowers and the flowers brought reconciliation. She couldn't believe that worked. She says, you know that worked? I said, I could have told you it would have worked because it was God's idea, not mine. We had the same thing with two neighbors. Had a spat and one neighbor in the afternoon making a Mexican casserole. Spirit of the Lord said, make one for the neighbor. She didn't really want to. She hadn't spoken to her in a long time. And she said, it's too late, Lord. You see what time it is? She's already got her supper started. That's what she told me. And then she said, after the Lord pressed on her, she said, well, this is a Mexican casserole, and it's really, really spicy. She said, I couldn't tell the Lord I didn't have all the ingredients because the Lord knew I had ingredients for two casseroles. She said, this is really spicy, and I bet they don't like really spicy. She said, I did everything I could to get out of it. She didn't want to do anything. She's mad. She doesn't want to do anything. When you're mad, you're not going to want to do anything. You're going to do it anyway. Now raise your right hand to heaven. I am. A doer. Because I'm a peacemaker. I'm not concerned about myself. Not concerned about my rights. I'm going to love the enemy. I'm going to bless them somehow. Some way. I'm going to do. I'm going to do. I'm going to do. So she carried the Mexican casserole to the door, knocked on the door. She told me this herself. And the lady came to the door and looked at her. She said, I baked, she didn't know what to say. She said, I baked this casserole for you. And the lady that she was answered the door began to cry and cry and cry. I said, I'm so sorry. It's my fault. She said, no, it was really my fault. She said, no, it was my fault. No, it's my fault. My theory on that is if they say it's your fault, let them take the blame and just go on with life. Oh, you want peace like a river? Do you want peace like a river? Christians are peacemaking. Peacemaking is not optional. It's not optional in your home. It's not optional in your family. If your family gets together. One lady had a family that hadn't got together in years, and she had it in her heart to bring the family together. And she planned a big dinner, and she sent out official invitations. And invitations began coming in, and this side of the family realized that this side of the family, they'd all been invited. So one representing both parties of the family came to her and said, you know, this won't work. This will never work. They will never come if they're coming. And she said, I really feel like it's of the Lord. She called me, that's how I know. She said, would you pray? I feel like it's of the Lord. I said, I will. And I did. So they had this dinner. And the family came together and there was great reconciliation. See, do something. Say, do something. Don't retaliate. Don't speak harshly. Not an eye for an eye. Don't protect yourself. Don't protect your rights. Do something that brings peace into the other man's heart, and the peace that comes to his heart through your action is going to rebound to you. So she has a diamond necklace given to her by the parties of the family because of her effort to bring peace. She did bring peace in the family, and the family got together and bought her a nice diamond necklace. She what? Say, do something. Are you a peacemaker? What are you going to do? You know, I don't often know. That's why I have an account at the florist, because sometimes I don't have a clue what to do. I don't know what to do. And the florist will deliver the flowers. You don't have to go yourself. I wasn't born yesterday. We thank you, our Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. We are peacemakers. Scripture says, as much as lies in you, as much as is possible, have peace with all men. That means sometimes your effort is not going to come back to you. They're not going to receive your peace, but you are going to send it. You're going to do it whether they like it. They can throw that Mexican casserole in the garbage can. That's not your problem. And we thank you, Father, for all these precious ladies. We're going to be peacemakers together. We're going to have peace in our own household and peace as we gather in church families. We're going to have peace everywhere we go. You said there was a way of peace, and then you said peace comes through believing, and peace comes through your presence. Peace comes through praying and receiving. Peace comes through obedience. We capture that for ourselves, our Father. And then we do something that gives that peace that we have in us, heavenly peace. We give it to everybody who would have conflict with us. We will not speak harshly. We will not protect our own territory. We will not demand our own rights, because that's not your way. We walk in your way. It's not my way to peace. It's your way. The only way that works is your way. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.